Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Brexit won the day, and
a very narrow margin, but it was still a win. What we don't know is actually what life will be like here in the United Kingdom, outside the European Union, which this country has been a member of for about 40 years. And also, as you know, that some of the laws are actually made by the European Union. So disengaging from the European Union will actually mean that those laws would actually be crafted here. Well, probably that's not a very big problem, but it's also things like access to the single market, which, well, the Britain has been told by the EU president that it's either you're in or you're out, because the Brexit team still wanted access to the single market. But, well, how can you be how can you have access to the single market if you are not a member? But again, rumors have it that well, if you want access to the single market, you still have to actually pay into the coffers of the EU. And well, this is actually, now that was the campaign point for the Brexit, to say that too much money was going to Europe and they wanted to, you know, to, you know, make their own rules and keep the money here and, use it for social services such as the NHS, education and other things. And one thing people are not sure about is, you know, the many Europeans who have actually come to live in this country, what happens to them? Well, like you would actually, as you would expect, some of them have come and made lives here. And obviously they're very worried. And especially those who have been here for a very, very short time, either they will choose to go back or, well, we'll see what how it goes. But again, the Brexit result has also changed the political landscape out here. And the changes, well, one of the significant ones which actually happened on the first day was that David Cameron, the Prime Minister, resigned. His argument was that, well, he was for Remain, and, well, he's not the best person to steer the country in the new direction. I think that is a fair argument, to be honest, because, you know, I mean, how is he going to satisfy the country, you know, for a direction that he didn't subscribe to. So that's him gone, and he's going as soon as October, which is just a few months down the road. Now, again, that has actually opened a whole new scenario in the Tory camp, in the sense that there are a number of people who are actually who wanted the top job. One of the people mentioned, the prominent names have been Boris Johnson, of course, the former London mayor, who has been the face of the Brexit campaign, together with his campaign partner Michael Gove, and Ian Fox, the secretary, defense secretary, has also indicated that he wants a top job, together with the Home Secretary Theresa May. But surprisingly, today, Michael Gove, initially, who didn't seem to want to go for the job, decided he was going to go for it. And he didn't have very nice things to say about his Brexit campaign partner, Boris Johnson. And Johnson did a very quick about 10, and he is no longer contesting the Tory leadership contest. I mean, it came to as a surprise for a lot of people, because, I mean, everybody has been saying that Boris Johnson is actually paving his way to number 10. So, well, it's all changed now. He's not in the frame, and that leaves Michael Gove, Liam Fox, and Theresa May. And Theresa May, funny enough, was actually not for Brexit. Theresa May was for Remain. So we'll see how she actually will steer the country in that direction she also did not subscribe to. So very interesting set of affairs in this country. And obviously, you know, UKIP also... Hello, Mwetu.
Hello, hi, you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. You just creeped in quietly like a thief in the night. Good evening.
Yeah, I'm good. I can't complain. A bit of a mad dash, but I'm Yes, I'm in now.
You're in. We've got a small problem here.
Okay.
The number I was given is unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. And, I've actually direct messaged in Twitter. That's how we've been communicating with her for a very, very long time. And she doesn't seem to be picking up her Twitter feed. So I've sent a feeder to somebody who may be able to help us with the number. She just said that, she's not somebody who can actually give us the number. So I'm just waiting for her to get back to me. And
how about, did you get the number of the database? Because we've hosted Helen before.
No, but when we hosted, I remember, I think we actually Skyped.
Did we?
Have you got access to the database?
I'm just looking at it now.
I don't remember seeing her name on the database, but you can actually give it a go. While you're actually looking, I've been talking about the Brexit because last time when we last broadcast, I think it was before the result, and now it's come and gone. And overnight, the political landscape in this country has changed significantly.
Yes, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, only because I don't think people were ready to actually have David Cameron resign.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I think that's thrown in a bigger problem. I think left bigger questions than answers.
Well, I don't know, but of course he gives a very valid reason for resigning in the sense that he did not subscribe to Brexit, so he can't be the best person to steer the country in that direction. So somebody else has to actually pick up the reins and steer the country in that direction. I think that's valid.
In a way, yes. In a way, yes. But also on the other hand, I just have the feeling that he could not just bear it sitting there and be mocked for the rest of his term in office to say you actually put up a referendum and you lost.
It's not about being mocked. It's not about me being mocked. I think he was very passionate about this country remaining in the EU. And to be honest, this is a very uncharted waters. And does he want to go and experiment in what actually people are saying that this is unworkable? This is unworkable because even the Brexit campaign now, they don't even know what is going to happen a few months after invoking the Article 50. Remember that people were banking on a four-year period of disengaging from the EU. But EU members are saying, if you have to go, you go now.
Go now. So, which in a way has also caught Britain off guard completely, because Angela Merkel, I liked what she said. She said, there is no way you can cherry pick what you want.
Exactly.
So I think they thought they had 4 years in which they could come up with a whole list of things. But suddenly it looks like I don't know whether you saw that clip where the president of the EU told Nigel Farage to say, "Well, you voted to go out, yeah? You voted to go out. What are you doing here?"
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think, well, to be honest, I don't know what he was doing there as well. And to me, he just went to actually maybe going to say that, well, this is what I've been fighting for and I got it. Like he cheekily said that, look, who is laughing now.
Yeah, but if you listen to his speech again, the arrogance of it, the self acclaimed or self you know self importance. He ended his speech with "Leave us alone, so that we can go and pursue our global ambitions." Now, I'm thinking, how do you pursue your global ambition when your biggest problem is immigration? In, you know, who are you going to who are you going to go to? Who is you definitely are going to have to immigrate yourselves. You have to do trade. Or at least allow people to actually come in. I was just having a discussion with somebody today. The current statistics from the RCN show that the UK has a shortage of 25,000 nurses as we are now. Now, there are people who are nurses. So they are saying actually the actual figure is more than 25,000 because they are saying there are people who are working in other roles, but they are on the nursing register. So puts you and I in that category. But we are being counted as people on the numbers. Yet, so they are saying actually the 25,000 is not even what it should be. It should be more than that. So already, if you've noticed, NMC quickly has changed the criteria of getting nurses even from the EU. They've already imposed the English tests on all of them from yesterday. And but not only that, if as of last week, the NHS was recruiting in Portugal, Spain, the Philippines, and all over. So you bring in 20,000 nurses, that's potentially 20,000 families, potentially. Mm-hmm. That is a whole lot of immigration, which on one hand, the Brexit group does not really, you know, subscribe to.
Well, to be honest, I mean, it's, I hope, everybody just hopes that, well, look, okay, we're in this, and I guess probably even the Brexit campaigners woke up on that day and say, oh gosh, what mess have we put ourselves in? Now that we've found ourselves in a hole, we should stop digging. Now people like Nigel Farage, with who is the UKIP leader. Yes, he's campaigned for this. But Nigel Farage, is he going to actually influence policy in this country? Probably on the streets, he may. But in terms of policy making, in the House, he won't. He's outside the House. He's only got one member of Parliament who was actually
who doesn't even like him.
You see, because I know I've got a friend who is actually a member of UKIP, and he keeps on saying that, look, Nigel Farage is not a leader that UKIP needs. He's not a leader that he has very, very, very low ratings for Nigel Farage. And if you're saying that the other guy doesn't like him, I don't know how many more don't like him. Well, how he resigned after losing the elections, and he said that he came back because people wanted him back. Well, I'm sure there are some people who actually quite like him. But in terms of influencing policy, probably he'll come and talk to people on the streets. And other than that, nothing. So, and these are the people that have been in the forefront of Brexit. So if things go wrong, will they be able to come and stand up and say sorry? Probably not. You know, they will actually still blame it on the politicians.
Yeah. It's really an interesting one going forward because I Boris, I think.
And
while
you're talking, I know
job.
You can't multitask. I know you can't multitask. While you're talking, did you check the database?
Yes, I checked it. I didn't. She's not there, so I'm trying to actually trying to sort out one of our other contacts while we are talking.
I think
the biggest shock came in today in the form of Boris Johnson.
Well, yeah, that was a very big shock. Everybody is surprised. I'm quite surprised as well. But I think people have actually realized that the Brexit team probably won the day through being economical with the truth. And you can see, you could see that on the day that the results were announced, people actually went to his house to go and demonstrate. He was actually saved by the cops. And, you know, I think he realized, probably he must have realized that people are probably angry with him.
There's a picture that has come out this evening, which says, it's his photo, and then there's a caption at the bottom. When you campaign on lies, and then realize that if you get elected, you've got to defend them. So in a way, like this morning, he lost one of his, the chief campaign guy on his team, this morning defected to Michael Gove's camp. So that on its own raised a lot of issues. And another theory that they said was Boris promised heaven, and which means if he was the front runner, he would have to be the one that defends all the things he was saying. Whereas if it's somebody else, it's very easy to just deflect them and say, well, he was making his own opinion. Because
probably true. But the funny thing is that looks like the father was actually for Remain. Stanley. Johnson.
Yeah. But then you know that Boris Johnson, for starters, was born in America.
Well, yeah, something like that.
So born in the USA and all that. Anyway, it would have been an interesting time, but I think who do you fancy from the ones that have remained?
Well, if I was a Tory supporter, I would actually go for Theresa May.
She's more level-headed.
More level-headed, yep. And probably because she was also Remain, which I actually supported. But I would actually go for Theresa May. And, I mean, you know, even her pitch today was simple, but it had a message and, you know, a lot of clarity. She didn't have to say a lot, but she said a few things, which I think it will resonate with a lot of people. I wish her the best, to be honest.
I hope so. So now the biggest question is: Do you think that this is the end of the road for UKIP, really?
Well, I mean, because UKIP has, you know, like I always tell my my friend that UKIP is a one item agenda, which they've actually fulfilled. Now, whether they'll be able to sort of move to the next level after this, I do not know, because UKIP has always had one message: is immigration, come out of Europe, let's take control. Immigration, come out of Europe, let's take control.
I'd like to know their education policy. I would like to know, their policy on healthcare.
Well, I mean, when it comes to such policies, if you listen to them, they just scheme on the top, really. They just scheme on the top. So, I mean, yeah, I know they've got support out there. I don't know how much. But if they actually won the day, it's like one of those parties where quickly there you get found out, and then probably you don't even finish the term, and you're sent packing.
Yeah, very possible.
Yeah. So while we're at that, spare a thought for poor Jeremy Corbyn.
I know. Somebody sent me a text 2 days ago, said, just spotted Jeremy Corbyn in IKEA looking for a cabinet.
I think I saw something similar, but yeah.
So he was pretty much he's out of luck anyway. Anyway, somebody is sending me the number shortly.
Okay, yeah. Out of luck, I don't know whether it's out of luck, but historically, he's been known to be coming out of Europe. It's only, I think this time he did not have a chance, he did not have a choice, because Labour, I mean, the other side of Labour has been like to stay in, although obviously what happened in the North is another story. Maybe that's why they're saying that maybe that's where the that's why his campaign was not so strong. That's why the referendum was lost in the Labour strongholds. You know, it wasn't very convincing, and I mean, he didn't make himself friends after firing the other guy. What's his name again? You know, one of the one of the shadow cabinet ministers.
Cabinet ministers,
and, 48 hours. That followed. People were, every after maybe 5 minutes, 2 minutes, somebody was resigning from the, shadow cabinet. Yeah, so he appointed a few unknowns, and now he hasn't even got enough people to appoint to the, into the other positions.
And then today there was a further, I don't know whether you saw that anti-Semitic inquiry where they were now having that meeting today, and then somebody said something about a Jewish MP who was in there, and then she left. So it's been widely reported that, the rift is just getting bigger and bigger within the camp. Anyway, I have been given a number, so I will try it.
Is it anywhere similar to what we had before?
No.
People in Zambia have quite a lot of handsets, a lot of different whatever.
Oh, yeah, I end up looking like a telephone exchange if you're not careful. I guess it's because of the deals, isn't it? Okay, so let me go off a little bit and then I'll be back.
All right, great. Okay, Mweti has joined in from South Yorkshire, and he's trying to get our guest, Helen Mwale, who initially we had a telephone number which had a digit missing. Anyway, that's how we got it, and hoping that we're going to get her now. Well, we've just been talking about what's been happening on this front, and what's happening in the Labour camp as well, where looks like more and more Jeremy Corbyn's stay is becoming a little bit untenable, and probably we'll be hearing more in the next maybe 24-48 hours whether he will still be leader for Labour Party, having having had a vote of no confidence. Is it 140 against 40 or something like that? But he's insisting that he's not actually going to bow to that, because he has the grassroots support, and people want him to be there, so he's going to stay there. So, that is Labour's problems, and we're hoping that with the elections coming, they'll put their house in order and, get somebody or get themselves in a shape that they are going to contest the elections that will follow. Well, I mean, if they don't, that means, the Conservatives will actually be still in the strong position, because if you think about it, other parties like the Lib Dems, after the last elections, they have not fared very, very well. They've lost a lot of seats, constituencies, and I don't think they're in a shape to actually give a, you know, a good run in the election. And of course, there is UKIP. UKIP, as you may know, they probably were a big part of this campaign. But I did say earlier that they are not in the, you know, they are quite on the margins, in the sense that they even have only have one member of parliament. And that member of parliament, if I recall correctly, for Essex, which is in Clacton-on-Sea, if I'm not mistaken, actually just defected from the Conservative Party. Yes, defections also happen here, but they are very, very, very few compared to what we see in our Zambian, politics. Like we say that, some independent member, candidates in the Zambian elections were registered as independent before the elections. They've actually joined the ruling party. So, to be honest, I do not know how that is going to pan out. Does it mean that the ruling party then has got two candidates? And I don't know what the ECZ, Electoral Commission of Zambia, is doing about it. But it's quite... We'll see how it goes. I can hear Mwete creeping in quietly like a thief in the night. Mwete.
Yes, I've just sent you a message, actually. I'm doing what I can do from this end. the number certainly does exist, but it's just that it's not going through. So I think if you check your messages, I've sent you a message. But then I've asked my contact to actually try and alert her to say, because there is this public lecture going on, and I wonder whether maybe she strayed to there, this public lecture about the Bill of Rights for the referendum.
Well, because she had committed to this show, so I mean, if she had done that, I'm sure she would have.
That would be.
Sounded me out to say that, oh, there is this thing that's going on and blah, blah, blah. But, if she's done that, well, I do not know. That would be that would be unfortunate. That would be unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is the phone ringing anyway?
No, it says it's off.
It's off. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is very interesting. And,
but then I've sent it to you, if maybe you could try on WhatsApp, on the number I've sent you.
Okay, well, yeah, okay, I'll try it, but if it's off, it's off, but I will try that if it's got WhatsApp to existing, yeah. So, what have you picked up on the Zambian political scene in the last few days?
Quite interesting, actually.
That is another interesting.
quite interesting because I think, we know what's been happening to the post, and I think one of the most interesting things going on with Brexit is that I think I read something to say the British High Commissioner actually met with the Zambian president to reassure him of the strong bilateral relations that UK enjoys with with Zambia. Which I thought, I think this trade is one way, really. Rather than going two ways, but he's gone over to actually explain, to say, no, everything is fine, don't worry about it, and this, that, and the other.
Nice of him to mm-hmm. say that, but to be honest, I mean, at the moment, nobody knows how this is going to pan out. Nobody knows how this is going to pan out. I mean, some people say that, maybe this will be a time for Britain to go out in search of other trading partners, you know, well, is the Commonwealth now going to actually benefit from the, you know, is going to have a stronger relationship with the Commonwealth countries? We don't know.
Because yesterday a group that, you know, a form of UKIP group based in Australia is actually calling for Australia to quit the Commonwealth because they are saying we are intelligent enough to appoint our own head of state.
Well, you know, this is actually like it's going to have a domino effect here, and you know, very close to, you know, here in Scotland, probably not very far from where you are. Scotland. They voted overwhelmingly to remain, and then they feel really hard done by, say that they have to get out because probably England and Wales voted to get out.
So yeah,
they are trying to actually, you know, to get themselves remain in the EU. But how is that possible? And I knew, and I said it, that this result, this referendum result, is going to trigger another referendum, independence referendum in Scotland. They are already talking about it.
Yeah.
That I think on the back of this, the second time around, they are going to win it and go their own way.
Yes,
Northern Ireland,
Because I saw a very passionate speech that one of the ministers gave, one of the MEPs gave in Brussels, and said, look, we voted to stay with you, so please do not let us down because Scotland did not let you down. So somebody actually was saying, could the EU be thinking, okay, we can lose one country and then gain Scotland and Ireland. So you lose one country and gain two countries.
Well, now it means that if it happened that way, are they going to be fast tracked to join?
Yeah.
Because remember, it's about, you know, you leave and you have to go back to the, you know, go back of the queue. You know, would they be fast tracked to join?
They could be. The problem is what they are saying is the problem is at the moment it's the United Kingdom that belongs to the EU. Therefore, if the United Kingdom is deregistered after that article is activated, it's everybody coming out, which then means I'm sure they will be fast-tracked because, you know, like Obama said, look, it doesn't make sense for us to trade with the UK on their own because that's just a single market. We'd rather go to a market where there's more countries, and then we can do it all at once. So that's I think the thought was such that I can tell they are making it as they go along. Now we all want to be positive about it, but I'm sure if the thing is if the story about Britain becomes a success story, other countries will try to go that way from the EU. But as it now, nobody will be moving until they see what really happens.
Well, there's already been a talk of, Frexit and all sorts of exit and exit here and there. Is it Italy also wants a referendum and so on? So, you know, it's quite a good number. So whether that is really those calls will really materialize, or they'll just die after this excitement is over.
But
we don't know.
But all these are being agitated by far right groups in all these countries.
Well, that is actually the other thing. Is that so? Is it mainly far the far right groups are on the rise?
See?
Yeah, they probably. Yeah, I mean, you know, closer to home here, you find that there was that year that BNP was on the rise, and then UKIP has been on the rise, although they haven't made the inroads. They've made noises, but they haven't made inroads. So, I mean, are they on the rise? And anyway, what happens to the British people who have actually gone out to live in Europe? And it's quite a good number. It's quite a good number. They say that it could be well over a million. And if you go out to Europe, I mean, there are a lot of British. Sometimes you go, you go to Portugal, you go to where Cyprus, also Spain. There are certain places that you go to. You think, oh, if I left Britain, I'm still in Britain. Because you can still go and there are a lot of British people opened up places. You can still go and enjoy your full English breakfast, as you know.
Your full English breakfast. Exactly.
And, if you, as you know, in Europe, it's continental. Continental, very, very continental. I remember I went to Naples. What year was that? 2012 or 2010? I stayed at this hotel and went for breakfast. There was I think there was croissant and coffee. I said, "Gosh, what the heck is this?" So when I met up with my friend who is Italian, I told him. I said, "Hey, I'm hungry." I said, "Did you have breakfast?" I did, a cup of coffee and croissant. And that's how we eat, But don't worry, we'll have a big lunch. And when we had lunch, it was massive. It was massive. But again, but you find that, they know that a lot of British people here, after you go and enjoy a pint, you go and enjoy a nice burger, you go and enjoy your full English breakfast, anything British, you actually get it. And there are a lot of them out there. They were interviewing some people, a couple, I think they're in somewhere in Spain, one of the islands. They are worried. They've got nothing to come back to here. They retired there. They enjoy their life there. It's much cheaper for them there. And they say that, there's nothing to come back to. They are very depressed.
No, there's not. Yeah, exactly. So, people that cannot manage to go out and live there forget that actually, like somebody posted something on social media last week and saying, why is anybody making a fuss about immigration? The local shopkeeper speaks English, the school children speak English, and we get, the shops you go to are English. I love it here in Spain. So there are these people that have actually gone out made a life for themselves. And they know that they cannot replicate that if they come back here.
Well, it is. I mean, where you actually get a pint. Well, it's not like that is a measure of economy, but it makes sense. A pint for 90 cents, which is probably 70p a pint. And if you go to, the pubs that surround where I work, a pound is almost touching £5.
You see?
just a pint. Then you think, really? It's quite nice out there, and there's a lot of sunshine as well,
ends up, so I do not know. There's a part of me that probably thinks and feels, maybe, if you look at the statistics, the younger generation voted to stay in, the older generation voted out. Would this younger generation grow up one day and ask to have another referendum to go back in?
Well, that's if the EU will still be there.
Well, that's the other thing. That's
the other thing. So, we're not doing very well trying to get our guest for tonight.
No,
I don't
because
know what has happened to the...
I was talking to Sally, actually, who gave me the number, and she said that's the best she could do.
Yeah, it's really not good. Apologies to our listeners. We're supposed to be hosting Miss Helen Mwale, who is the MISA chairperson. Unfortunately, we cannot get hold of her. The first number we had from her had a digit missing, and we actually managed to get another number, and this phone seems to be off, and these we haven't had any message from her indicating that she won't be available for the for this broadcast. But here we are, such things happen, and we are almost 45 minutes into the program, and we are unable to get her, and there's been no apologies from her, but we hope she's okay. We hope she's all right.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know whether you've... we did talk about... the happenings in Zambia. Currently, I haven't seen it, but there's apparently a video doing the rounds of a woman being assaulted. So there's been a lot of talk about, well, Zambia being Zambia. Somebody even posted her medical report, because now she's been to the hospital, and the hospital have detailed what injuries she's got, and apparently she was assaulted and kicked in the head while people were videoing this, and she started convulsing, and apparently they've actually identified the person who did it.
Well, yes, I saw that the first tweet when I got up this morning. It's not like I lead a miserable life, like I wake up and start looking at Twitter, but it's on the phone anyway. there was a post by Sylvia Masebo who talked about this very disturbing video, and I've been following the feed all day. Looks like it's been handed to the police, and like you say, they've identified one person. But one of the disappointing things is that people on social media were asking, posting their numbers, asking for the video.
Yeah.
I did find it very disappointing and very inconsiderate on the part of the people who were asking for the video. It's bad enough, and also, you know, posting the medical report on social media, really, I think
I know.
You should do a little bit more about confidentiality, honestly.
That's true. I found it really, really strange. I mean, of course, you know, you could start with who signed it, at what point, who's handled it, because it's a, you know, it's a medical report, so it's on police paperwork, so she's got that from hospital. Took it to Kafue Hospital, where they've written on it. So basically, who's actually had the time to take it from her and photograph it and start banding it around? That was really, really strange.
You know, I think I know the way we do our things back home is a bit different, but I hope things have changed over the years. I mean, I worked in healthcare many years ago back home, and you know, you would actually see visitors coming into ward to come during visiting hour, and they would pick up if there's a file on the patient's bedside or whatever, even you know, drug chat and you know, even observation chat, they start flickering through trying to read what is in there. And
I know,
also,
yeah.
And, I mean, you just think, really? What are you looking for in there? Doesn't this person deserve a bit of confidentiality? And also, when, you know, they go to visit, finish mulerwala. You're not the doctor. If the person is happy to share that with you, they will share. Otherwise, if you just go and see them and walk away, go back to your house.
It's a sad. I think it's a sad, sad thing that we the confidentiality bit is just completely not there. But it's also, I think, the professionalism. I think I don't think people learn enough of. Okay, I've been given another number, so I'll try this one. I don't think people learn enough of these things like confidentiality, safeguarding, and all that. Because, I mean, here, if you take a child to a hospital and the child has unexplained bruises, you have police coming to question you. You have social services coming to question you because, you know, everybody is looking out, which is what it should be, you know? But
yeah,
strange. Anyway, so let me try this other number I've just been given. So looks like there's a lot of people trying to get Helen on. supplying numbers left, right, and center.
Somebody promised it was Luanga. She's promised she was going to look at
Luangamwelo. Yeah.
But because she said she didn't, she wasn't in her contact anyway, so she was just going to try. She's been very helpful. I asked her for a lot of random things. So there, I'm looking for this information. She's very, very good. I owe her a drink when I next time I'm in Lusaka. She's very, very helpful.
Yeah,
all the answers, you know, it is very, very, very good.
That's good. So let me try this one quickly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, while Moiti is actually trying to bring in our guest, we've been trying for the past 1 hour. We never give up. Hopefully we'll actually be able to get her. We really want to talk about, what's really the way forward for the Post newspaper and whether they've been treated fairly, especially that there's a run-up to elections and people want information. I do not see why people should be denied of information. But again, also, yes, there is some disputed tax bills, but the timing also sort of is a little bit controversial, although the president says, well, what's the best time to do it? But again, when you actually come and hear that there are some media houses also who taxes and ministers are saying that those cannot be touched because they are government controlled or government supported or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't just augur well. I mean, why are we actually afraid of a critical paper? It's very popular among it's the oldest independent publication, and it's very, very popular. I mean, probably the owner is like Marmite. Either you like him or you don't. But at the end of the day, it's a very, very good alternative for source of information for the citizens. Otherwise, you end up with these other publications, which, if you want to know more about the ruling party, yes, you can go and read them. But other than anything else, you probably don't get much. I did actually point out on Twitter the other day to say that, I listen to Zambian radio quite a lot, and you find that when it comes to covering foreign news, maybe because they just monitor other sources, international sources, it's quite elaborate. But when it comes to local news, it's just all about the president, the first lady, and what the minister said. And then the other news is just a by-the-way thing. So, people are not actually getting value for money in terms of, local news. TV, apparently, is worse. A lot of people don't even want to bother with the ZBC, although they are actually, they pay TV licenses. Again, a TV license, and at the end of the day, you don't get a value for money. It's really shortchanging the subscribers. Moiti, you back?
Yes, I'm back. I've got a number which is actually now ringing, but going unanswered. So I wouldn't be surprised if really that she's probably at Nipah, but quite surprising that if she is, that is. Well, then it would have been prudent to know that she wasn't available. I don't know. So far we've tried four different numbers. But at least this one has rung. No, and we still hope that she's okay. Really.
Because you never know. So in the absence of opinion polls, in our, you know, in mother, you know, our beloved country Zambia, from what we actually reading and hearing, you know, listening to people talk, people we talk to, how would you call the upcoming elections?
I think the front runners. Well, first of all, probably let me start with saying I think the violence in these elections are quite, you know, despicable, and I think all parties need to put a stop to it completely before somebody gets hurt. Now, everybody participating is very, very cagey about losing. Nobody wants to lose, and therefore these are very, very tightly contested elections, and we are actually having to have, you know, there's camps already. So from what I can see, I think, you know, there's two of the major parties, seeing as MMD has decided to split itself between the two. So you've got PF in a marriage with the old MMD, and then UPND in a marriage with literally everybody else, which is, I think today I saw something about a meeting, a rally that was in Western Province where Charles Milupi was speaking as well. So that is that shows that they've actually got pretty much all the other parties. So when you look at the opinion polls, I would probably think that currently, only because
wait a minute. Did you say if you look at opinion polls, which opinion polls are you looking at? From Diary?
Exactly. Well, he did run an opinion poll.
No.
No, if you did look at, I didn't say if, so if you did look at opinion polls that were to have been conducted by, you know, reputable people like maybe Mr. Simtanyi and the others, I would respect those a little bit more than the Facebook ones. But any opinion post currently that would be looked at would be very, very subjective and not a clear opinion of what's obtaining on the ground.
Well, I mean, this is one surprising thing. I mean, we have, you know, organizations, you know, even papers do run their opinion polls as well, which have been in the business for a very long time. They can actually not give you credible opinion polls. Yeah. How difficult is it to actually gather information in that part of the world?
It is very, very, very hard to gather proper information, only because I think now we are in an era whereby, you know, somebody posted something about now walking in a party T-shirt, suddenly something that was safe before has suddenly become very, very dangerous to do. Therefore, it depends on who is actually doing the opinion polls, because if somebody is leaning onto the other side, people might start thinking, oh, is he spying on what we are actually thinking? So there is that sort of being quite skeptical about, you know, how to progress with things. If you look at this morning, they've done opinion polls. Sky did opinion polls on Tories' leadership, and straight away they were able to come up with quite good ones that people were just slotting in via the internet and could be independently verified that way. But in Zambia, we cannot be sure, because I think you just don't know who they are working for and how independent they are.
I think one of the biggest problem, I think, is poverty. You know, with poverty, that's why you can actually rent a mob. You know where you find a situation where a mob, you know, today, depending on who is giving the money, this mob will actually swing the other side. Tomorrow you go from the other party, then they'll swing to the other side. You know, it's all because of poverty. Probably that also distorts, the statistics, or you know, the dynamics of how the election will actually, which way they'll go. You know, other than, and then you find that somebody goes in as an independent candidate. 2 days later, they've actually joined the ruling party. I mean, what went on between the person and the ruling party? I've got a friend I know who is actually contesting one of the Lusaka seats. He's contesting under UP, not PNB, sorry, MMD. I think I shared his leaflet with you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's got on the MMD flyer. He's also got the President Lungu and the running mate head on it. Really? How does that How does that work? How does that work? So, our political arena is just something really. You know, I don't know. We subscribe to probably different political theories. And it's just really, really difficult. And as for, you know, this, I don't know, I think we've talked about it before, where the ministers being in post even up to date, really, honestly. It doesn't make the landscape even. It does not at all.
No. It doesn't. So you've got Margaret Mwanakatwe, who is still a minister, and she is enjoying government privileges, and then she's still campaigning to be the next MP.
Uh-huh.
You know? So you kind of think, that's a bit strange. That's a bit strange, but... They've set a precedent anyway, because the next government will say, well, the last government did it.
But I think also, as a nation, we actually don't demand more from our politicians. In some countries, that cannot even last half a day. It cannot last half a day.
No.
But we've just taken it, yeah. President Lungu has said,
I know.
If you had the voters card, if you don't mind sharing, if you have the Zambian voters card, where would you be
going?
Where? I mean, looking at the arguments that they are putting forward and this and that and, you know, sauntering and something. Where would you put your money? Where you think, look,
The problem is, you know, like they say up north in Yorkshire, they say, you know, politicians are all the same. They all piss in the same pot. And the problem is we have such a muddled lot such that you do not know. Because I can assure you, HH could win in August. And politicians in Zambia are so shameless. Kamwili could even resign and join HH, and HH will be the best thing. So on those bases, it becomes very, very hard, because if you look at the enmity that was there between HH and GBM, it was so bad. If you look at the enmity that was there between HH and Guy Scott, it was that's where the Mzungopusa thing came from. And now they are working hand in hand. So that makes you start questioning to say, how principled are these people? You know?
Well, I think what is important for our politicians and political parties is just to get the numbers and get into, you know, either get into state house or whatever. Look at Mwaiteta. Mwaiteta is now very much at home in UPND.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I cannot understand the dynamics of our politics. I cannot understand. Have you heard anything about in Livingston, who is actually contesting? Because I know Lawrence Evans is not contesting anymore.
No, he's not. There was somebody else. Somebody else. I can't remember the name, but it's definitely somebody else. But then you know you sit there and you think he was just warming that seat, really, you know, for all that time.
Yeah.
And how they got that seat
because of Mr. Is it not Mr. Silvia?
Squela or something.
Squela, not Silvia. Squela. Mr. Squela, who is now comfortably enjoying life as a permanent secretary.
Exactly. Yeah. So it forms something, you know, as part of the whole thing. But for me, I would find it very, very hard to actually put a vote on any politician in Zambia. And I say that not because there are some good leaders in Zambia, but they are made to look bad by the company that they allow to keep.
Okay, let's say all of them are bad, but out of the bad ones, who is better?
If you ask me, what Zambia needs? Okay, I've interviewed two people who have really impressed me, and never been tried before. One was Charles Milupi. Charles Milupi, really intelligent, really, really intelligent, humble, great brain. He's made it.
Can you cut out the humble bit, please? We've had enough of this humble leaders. You know, we've had enough of this humbleness, please.
Okay. He's probably richer than HH, but you never even hear him talk about his. But anyway, okay. So we'll cut out the humble bit. We just say he's a good leader. He's made it in the corporate world, and he gave us a really good interview. I think we actually had to bring him on twice for him to talk about his policies and what plans and different things. I mean, really, really successful in the mining world. And then on the other hand, I think the other person that Zambia would really, really, really benefit from is the good general.
Okay.
The good general,
I
feel we are just afraid of the unknown. Otherwise, he's a good man.
You know, the general started off very well, actually, and it was... the late David Mwanawasa, may he so rest in peace, who actually punctured his wheels after, you know, getting all his MPs. You know, the general is very, very, to me, is very, very intelligent. Like you say, people are afraid of the unknown. The general is very, very intelligent, and I mean, this is a man who, fine, probably some people have got issues with the village concept. To be honest,
concept,
I don't understand
it.
The village concept, I do not understand it either. But as a person and the way he comes out, the way he talks and blah, 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 is somebody that, in one or the other, Zambia can benefit from him. Zambia can benefit from him. He's not gullible. He's somebody who is actually, you know, and I think the general wouldn't stand some of this nonsense that we see around.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't.
But
he wouldn't.
You know, he's not attracted. It's failed to attract
anything.
The, growth. One, because I think also in terms of Zambian politics, or probably even elsewhere, to be honest, people go where the money is.
Yeah,
the general.
Exactly.
I do not think the general has, you know, a lot of excess money to burn. That is not going
no.
to attract him people, unless you just subscribe to his you know, his views, and you say, look, this is the man that I'm going to support, and that kind of thing. But I think we have failed to tap into what that man can actually can contribute to Zambia.
Exactly. So those are the two, if you ask me. Other than that, I'll draw you to a question. I once asked Ms. Nawakwe on this show. I said she only has one MP. If she were to win the election, what would happen? And I remember distinctly. She said, they will move to my party.
I think I remember that interview.
They said they will move. So literally, you know, she's there fighting for this, but thinking, okay, if I do win it, All these people that have been calling me names and demeaning me as a woman, suddenly they'll start worshipping her. I mean, if you think about the battles that were going on between the late President Sata and Dorothea, you'd never think in a million years that she would ever stand on his party ticket.
But surprisingly, you have actually avoided as much as possible to talk about HH, and HH is the biggest, he has the biggest political party, or opposition political party.
Yes, he does,
mm-hmm.
But I feel uncomfortable at the number of people that have jumped. It's the same bad eggs from everywhere, you know, that are, I mean, this is what, you know, Karaki was saying, to say, you know, in a very short while, we'll fail to recognize HH because he would have surrounded, he would disappear inside the whole structure of these runaway refugees from other political parties who are not doing him any good.
Then in that case, I'll put you on the spot and ask you, do you think then Kenesha's Banda was her done by?
I know the good doctor. Kenesha's Banda is an intelligent man. Zambian politics is not about intelligence. And unfortunately, this is why I think I would even add another third person to my top three. Another person would be Elias Chipimo. So you have people that will come in with the intellect, and then they will try and debate issues from an intellectual perspective. That just does not work in Zambia. Look at GBM. They'll post a video of him saying, that's a vice president of a political party. I cannot ever see Kenesha's Banda doing that. Therefore, for a political setup like Zambia, Kenesha's Banda ends up looking quite incompetent, because the battles out there are not about saying anything sensible. It's just rhetoric that, you know, people just want to enjoy.
Well, I did say earlier that Zambian politics about numbers anyway. Maybe if you look at it this way, is that maybe Kenesha's Banda cannot pull the type of numbers that GBM can pull. Maybe that could be
very possible. Yeah.
That could be one of the reasons. So if you want the numbers, bring in the one who says that.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly.
Is it? But again, the violence. I mean, that actually takes us to the violence. I mean, it was only the other day. A lot of people probably lost their lives. Only the other day, that young university graduate who was actually beaten and killed. And again, it's suspected that it's political violence anyway. Who should be doing something about this violence? People are having prayers and this and that day of prayer of reconciliation, and the following day they are. To me, the president is not doing enough. He is not doing enough. It doesn't look like a man in charge when it comes to stopping that violence.
Because I think was it today or the day before, he said he was saying no more, police should now start arresting people causing violence. And I'm thinking, does that really need to come from the president?
Yeah.
I thought police.
it probably shows that the police are getting instructions from orders from the politicians.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is Kankanja's job to tell the forces to say, look, whoever breaks the law, whether they're UPND, they're PF, they've got to be arrested. But how many times do we read about, somebody breaks the law, depending on which party they are from, they are either released or they're incarcerated.
Exactly.
How many times?
Yeah.
And that brings it down to the media itself. I mean, I've got Zambia Daily Mail open here. Do I get anything out of that newspaper? No, I don't. It's just talking about what PF has done. If they talk about the opposition, it's it's very, very negative. To be honest, is the government supposed to be running these businesses in the media? No. Let them sell these publications to independent people who can turn them around, and instead of just spending taxpayers' money propping them up. You know, you visited me when I lived in Botswana some years ago. In Botswana, the government has one newspaper, which is a free newspaper, which is Daily News, Dikang Zahompien. It's free, mm-hmm. and they just write about anything. It's not like it's a mouthpiece for the government. They just write about anything. Other than that, the publications are in private hands. The economy of Botswana is far, far much better than the economy of Zambia. Yet we choose to actually spend taxpayers' money. And remember, we don't even have a very broad tax base propping up these publications. These publications are better off in private hands. I mean, they sold all the companies. They sold pretty much, apart from, of course, Tesco and Zamtel, which they sold and got back. And I don't know which other one. Yeah. But they chose to keep those Times of Zambia and Daily Mail. Those needs sold.
Sold, yes. Like Joe said last week, if Times were to operate one day without help from government, they would close.
That's the thing. And, you know, when we were young, we used to read the paper. And the paper had 8 pages. 8 pages from page 1 to page 8. Page 8 is sport. And then there's those adverts in between. And I think even up to now, it's still 8 pages.
Is it?
Are these papers, I think so. Are these papers that are growing? It only grows when there is a supplement to congratulate some minister who's got a degree from God knows where. I mean, you know how old I am. And, you know, all these years, the paper is still page 8. Still page 8. Still page 8. It's not growing. It's not growing. In private hands. It's really sad. This is how we choose to spend taxpayers' money. you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But also, there was a report yesterday to say, actually, is it they are saying that Post owes 53 million. ZNBC owes 774 million.
There you are. But of course, you know that our good honourable doctor, something or another, you know, minister of misinformation and all, well, says that you know, those cannot be pursued.
Yeah, exactly. Which is really sad.
It's really sad because they know that those are the mouthpieces that is going to help them in terms of campaigns and that kind of thing. But really, I think as Zambians, we should be demanding more from these politicians. We are not demanding from these politicians.
If anything, there's a petition actually in the UK that has started, I think, 2 days ago over this Brexit thing, where they're saying, well, in media, we have all these things where if somebody reports something that is not right, they've got to retract it. They've got to be taken before an account body to account for what they've done or said. And, you know, in financial services, we see that. And yet politicians have taken us to a referendum. So there's things that they are doing U-turns already, less than 24 hours after we vote for something. Could we have a body where, and actually by yesterday, I think it had over 50,000, 70,000 signatures already.
You see, that is, to me, that's a fair call. To me, that's a fair call. You know?
I wish we had that in Zambia. That would be very, very helpful. And, then that would probably change the perception, because I'm sure a lot of these politicians have not even been to their, you know, to their constituencies up until now, when they are, you know, they are now wanting a vote, and then they'll go, you know, they'll go with their huge cars and buy people, you know, whatever they buy them.
Well, anyway, I think we've tried our best to get our guest for tonight. He's done as a Garandi Jawia. I don't know why. And, like I said, I hope she's all right. And, yeah, I just, you know, it's if I don't know why she didn't actually tell us today that she would have other commitments. Normally, you know, we confirmed this yesterday, but, such is life. And we will be getting somebody else next week. It's another time next week, so we should be getting somebody next week. And while we actually monitor the situation in Zambia towards, as we move towards the elections, and Mweti has told us who he could actually vote for, and well, not very, very clear, really.
Not that any of those are even standing.
That's the thing. You know. So, in that case, then we'll probably call it a day, because I've got a very late night. I'm waking up to midnight for my day job. it's really sad. We're going live with a new system, so there's quite a lot of work to be done. So my beat will be, you know, at some point in around midnight, and that will
midnight.
Go on all weekend. You know who's online.
Who is that?
Wadiamwari. I don't know whether she's listening or she is not. Probably we could bring her in for 5 minutes and just get her you know, get have views on one or two things.
I cannot see her from my end.
I can see her from my end. Let me see if I can. Jesus. Let me see if I can see her. Now this is letting me down.
I think it might put your call on hold.
No, I can add it to the group. It's like.
Wait, does she know she's coming live?
No. She doesn't. I was going to do that. Okay, there we are. Okay, let me see if I can bring her in. Let's see if we can bring her in. Right. Are you in a car? Hello, I'm waiting.
Hello, yeah?
Hello, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Have you brought that on?
It's just ringing anyway. Is it? No, okay. Next time. Anyway, to our listeners, apologies. We are unable to actually get our guest for tonight. She was just unreachable. She didn't give an indication that she was not going to be available. That's Helen Mwale, who is the chairperson for MISA Zambia. I'm sure she will be getting in touch with us to probably explain why she wasn't able to come on. But next week we'll bring you somebody else. We can't say who at the moment, but from myself, Eric Njovu, here in London, and my colleague, Mweti Momba in Yorkshire, good night, and we shall meet again Thursday next week. Mweti. Hello, Mweti?
Hello,
can you
hear me?
So can you call me when outside this? So
okay.
In the meantime, good night, and we meet again next Thursday.
Cool. All right, then. Good night. Da
I got a